ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतिर्नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषामेश पुराणार्कोऽथुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। दिस इज द सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 18 एंटाइटल्ड डिटी वाउज टू किल किंग इंद्र एंड टुडे वी विल डू टेक्स्ट 72 एंड 73। टेक्स्ट 73 इज ऑन द बोर्ड सो आई विल बिगिन विद टेक्स्ट 72। कृतो मे सप्तदा गर्भो गर्भ आसन सप्त कुमारकाः तेपि चैकैकशो वृक्नाः सप्तधा नापि मम्रिरे। दिस इज हु स्पीकिंग इंद्र इंद्र स्पीकिंग ही इज एंसरिंग दिति ही इज एक्सप्लेनिंग हिज एक्टिविटीज। He's explaining why she was supposed to get one son. We all know what she was planning. Instead, she ended up with 42. And she perhaps suspected that Indra had something to do with it, so she asked him frankly. And Indra admitted. Might as well read that again. My dear mother, Amba, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces. Now he says, first, I cut the child in the womb into seven pieces, which became seven children. Then I cut each of the children into seven pieces again. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, however, none of them died. I'm just going to pause here and point out a few things that are mentioned. First of all, the Gardapa was cut into pieces by me. Jiva Goswami comments here, may. The word may, normally it's in the fourth case or in the sixth case, but in this case it means maya, by me. So Indra is clearly taking responsibility for what he did. And Sridhar Swami also points out what was Indra's attitude when he was doing this. He said, marodir iti upalalayan eva. He's telling these children in the womb, upalalayan. Upalalayan means what you do with a child when you hold him in your lap, you pet him and you play with him and fondle him affectionately. He was doing this. And then what did he do? Puna saptadha chakarta vicheda. He again cut them again into seven more pieces. Heinous thing, as we heard from Dina Bandhu the other day. Basically, it's abortion, which nowadays people are doing every day. We're so desensitized to this, because largely because of a non-vegetarian diet, but also because the power of social influence is much stronger than the power of scriptural influence. Maybe we can speak a little bit about that later on. But it's become socially acceptable to kill your child nowadays, and people do that. Anyway, even by modern standards, which are pretty low, this would be considered very heinous, what Indra did, especially the way that he did it. So let's go on to the next verse. We can all repeat this, please. Tata tat param ashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi ka api anushangini tatastat param ashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi kapi anushangani tatastat param ashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi kapi anushangini tatastat param ashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi kapi anushangini tatastat param ashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi kapi anushangini tatastat param ashcharyam vikshya maya mahapurusha pujaya tatastat paramashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi kapi anushangini tatastat paramashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi kapi anushangani tatastat paramashcharyam vikshya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujaya siddhi kapi anushangini tata then tat that parama ashcharyam great wonder vikshya seeing vyavasitam it was decided maya by me mahapurusha of Lord Vishnu, pujayaha, of worship, siddhi, result, kapi, some, anushangini, secondary. Translation. My dear mother, when I saw that all 49 sons were alive, I was certainly struck with wonder. I decided that this was a secondary result of your having regularly executed devotional service in worship of Lord Vishnu. Please repeat,
My dear mother,
when I saw that all 49 sons were alive, I was certainly struck with wonder.
I decided
that this was a secondary result of your having regularly executed Devotional service. In worship of Lord Vishnu. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For one who engages in worshipping Lord Vishnu, nothing is very wonderful. This is a fact. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 78, it is said, Yatra yogeshwaraha krishno yatra partho dhunurdharaha tatra shrir vijayo bhutir dhruva nitir matir mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. Yogeshwara is the supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all mystic yoga, who can do anything and everything as he likes. This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Lord. For one who pleases the Supreme Lord, no achievement is wonderful. Everything is possible for him. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Pasangalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sintho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Krishna Balaram Lalita Vishakha Sahita Radha Shyama Sundara Ki Jai. First, I cut the child in the womb into seven pieces, which became seven children. Then I cut each of the children into seven pieces again. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, however, none of them died. My dear mother, when I saw that all 49 sons were alive, I was certainly struck with wonder. I decided that this was a secondary result of your having regularly executed devotional service in worship of Lord Vishnu. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 3, texts 15 and 16, we find some very descriptive verses that are given. Acharya Prabhavo Dharma Santascha Chara Lakshanaha Sadhunam Cha Yathavrittam Sasadachara Ishyate. That means that the real power of Dharma is Sadachara, Sadachara. And sada achara means good behavior and constant good behavior. That's the real power of dharma. That's the first line. Then he says, santash cha chara lakshana. And the symptom of a santa, of a saintly person, is that he's characterized chiefly by this good behavior, achara, sada achara. Sadhunam cha yathavrittam. The way that a sadhu acts, sa sadachara ishyate. That's called sadachara. Then he goes on. Tasmat kuryat sadacharam. Ya ichet gatimatmanaha. Sarva lakshana hinopi. Samudachara vanripa. Shradhananu suyascha. Sarvan kaman avapnuyat. That means that a person who, one should engage in good behavior if that person is interested in the real advancement for the self. Gatim atmanaha. Krishna says the same thing at the end of chapter 16. For those who are sharp, they know. And even if a person is completely bereft of any good qualification, but if he has sadachara, good behavior, then that person who is non-envious and also faithful will achieve everything that is desirable. So this is swartha. This is self-interest, actually. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnum. Prahlad, we hear from the seventh canto. People don't know what is their real self-interest. But according to these verses, at least, the key is sadachara. Sadachara is known by many different ways. Sometimes we call it Vaishnava etiquette. Or in Ayurveda, they call it Dincharya. Or in the Dharma Shastra, we call it Sadachara, as we've been describing. It's basically all the same thing. Everything that Kashyapa has prescribed here for his wife, Diti, to follow very strictly, there's really nothing out of the realm of ordinary Sadachara. Sadharana Dharma is another name for it. Ordinary Dharma. To be a civilized, decent human being. These are the things that he has prescribed. You can go back through the list in your spare time and just consider everything. We've heard some of these things. You have to sleep a certain way. You have to eat in a certain way. You have to bathe at a certain time also. And everything has to be done in proper order according to the Shastric injunction. We mentioned this before. Krishna says, Karya karya vijanataha. You have to discriminate what is to be done and what is not to be done on the basis of what the Shastra enjoins. If you do something other than what the Shastra enjoins, then you're doing so at your own risk. And quite often it's sinful as well. Usually it's sinful. We can see that society has become so degraded now only because people have become neglectful of this principle. Anyway, it would appear on the face of it that both Indra and Diti are guilty of misbehavior here. It's really an irony. Of course, this is actually a sordid family affair. Anyone here have a family? Yes, you all have a family. So we know families can be difficult sometimes. Some things happen in families that are not always properly. So we're seeing this on a cosmic level now, because when you amass enough good karma that you can actually have some influence in the entire universe, just as the Daityas and the Adityas do, then whatever you do has massive repercussions. Even in this life, this paltry, puny life that we lead, whatever we do, it has repercussions. So Indra has been very rascal, as we've discussed that already. And Diti has also done the same thing. This is actually described in Bhagavad Gita. Anybody know the verse that I'm thinking of? What was their motive in both cases? They both wanted the same thing. What was it? They wanted to oust the other person. And Krishna describes this in chapter 17. He says, Mudha grahinatmano yat pideya kriyate tapa parasyot sadhanartham va tat tamasamudaharitam. Anybody know what this means? That austerity that you accept, and which is very difficult to undergo, and which you're insanely attached to at the same time for the purpose of ousting someone else, parasyot sadhana artham. That is called austerity in the mode of ignorance. This is exactly what Diti was doing. And in fact, it's exactly what Indra was also doing. He wasn't following her he wasn't serving her faithfully every day, as we've heard the description. He wasn't doing that out of filial piety. So there was this horrible struggle going on underneath the surface. And it's invisible. Just like in our lives, these things are invisible. Why? There's a covering agent. What is that covering agent called? Sadharana Dharma. As long as you follow the rules, then nobody knows what's actually going on in your heart. Is it not? In India, they've perfected this art. That the best way to cheat, actually, is to be completely pakka. There's even a verse written by Rupa Goswami about that. A woman is having a paramour, so the best way that she covers it over is by very attentively carrying out her household family obligations very nicely. You see? And, of course, we know, that Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita elsewhere, when we become twisted by material desires, when we become mad with greed or lust or envy and such things, then we approach demigods and to bribe them, basically. It's material Hinduism is the process of, you know, cosmic bribery. You find the most powerful person that you can and just bribe them. This is what we do in demigod worship. Therefore, Krishna describes it as less intelligent. That's one reason. Because it doesn't really purify you so much. But it does purify you. This is the remarkable thing about it. So Kashyapa he's giving this sort of advice because he knows that Diti will be purified if she just follows this, regardless of her motivation. Akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purushamparam. As long as the person you're worshipping is the Supreme Person, then kam chalega. Things will go on nicely. And it will all work out in the end. And we see in this story that it actually does work out in the end. Now, this passage, this particular section at the end of the chapter has opened up because the question was raised, how in the world did these Maruts, who were born of such a sinful womb and for such a sinful purpose, and at the wrong time, if we remember the story also, everything was just wrong about this. How did they end up becoming devas? Does anybody remember? This is back in what verse? 22, I think, of this chapter. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented in that regard that there were two things, two considerations about this. Number one, Kashyapa was very exalted, but he was weak. And therefore, he could not control the ignorance and passion of Diti. So that was one thing. But he was exalted. He was not an ordinary soul. He was not a negligible personality. Very, very exalted sage. Greatly learned, great tapasvi, Kashyap Muni. So the parentage was good on that side. But what about Diti? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, yes, it's true. Diti was very envious. She was ill-motivated. A little bit like Putana. We know the story there. But she was devotional. And in addition to being devotional, she had enough sense through her socialization that she knew what it is to be, she had some idea what is sadachara. And because on the basis of that idea, she was submissive to her husband. He gave her instructions very intelligently. This is a symptom of his exalted nature. Would you be able to figure out a solution to this problem placed in Kashyapa's circumstances? A similarly effective one? Think about it. So he gave her good advice, and she followed the good advice. This is the key. This is the key. Husband has to be properly situated in devotional service, and the wife has to be submissive. Then it works out fine. So this was her saving grace, but we're not seeing that. She has become purified. She has become purified enough through this process of devotional service that she approaches Indra with forthrightly and tells him everything about what she had planned. That's not an easy thing for a woman, especially not an easy thing. And what's even more remarkable than that is that Indra responds in kind. We heard this just, I think it was yesterday's verse, the Acharya's commenting or saying this. What does he say? Ditya nishkapatamukte satindropi nishkapatamevaha ambeti. This verse is spoken by Indra, who is seeing the, appreciating the nishkapat bhav of Diti, the forthright mood of Diti, honesty, basically. Then he responds in kind. Actually, it's interesting. Another Acharya commenting on this verse, he points out, she called him Tata. What does Tata mean? Anybody know? It means quite a few things, actually. Even in Sanskrit, it means a few things. But when you address a junior person as Tata, what does it mean? It's, huh? Yeah, kind of like we say beta, no? Hindi man. So she addresses him like this. Not exactly son, because he's not her son, but it's for all intents and purposes, it's the same thing. Krishna, for that matter, in Bhagavad Gita also calls Arjuna Tata. When Arjuna is despondent, wondering, what's going to happen if I can't do this? Then Krishna, what, do you know, anybody know what verse I'm thinking? What does Krishna tell him? Durgatim tata gachati. He never gets a bad goal. The person, nahi kalyana krit kashchin, durgatim tata gachati. He calls him the same thing. My dear boy, you don't have to worry. If someone has done something auspicious, he never gets inauspicious result. That's assured. So she calls him tata, and how does he reply? We've already mentioned in yesterday's verse. Anybody remember? Amba. Amba doesn't exactly mean mother, also. He's very delicate with his choice of words here. This is the psychology going on here. South Indian languages, we have amma. It's a, coming from the same Sanskrit, which means amba. Mother. More or less mother. At least a mother figure. Anyway, so she is replying to him. But both of them are being honest. And this is the very key thing here. Especially in this Kali Yuga, in our lives, because we want to make this as relevant as we can, as we heard yesterday, we have to be honest. We have to be honest. Without honesty, nothing ever gets off the ground. Suhrit Satam. The Bhagavatam will purify our hearts if we are honest. You see? Satam prasangan mama virya samvado. These topics become very potent when we're in the association of real people, genuine people. Why is it that we don't appreciate the company, intimate association with outside people, with non-devotees? Because we know they're not genuine. How can they be? Manora tenavadi dhavato bahi. Manora tenasiti dhavato bahi. They're hovering on the mental platform. Anyway, so this is something that Baladev Vidyabhushan, actually, he quotes a very nice verse in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, texts 37 and 38. The verse itself is from the Dharma Shastra. It's actually from the Purvi Mimamsa Sutras of Jaimini Rishi. He's in charge of the Karmakanda school. But it's a very interesting principle. He says, Palatopi chayat karma nanartain anubadhyate kevala priti hetutvat tad dharma iti kathyate. We've discussed what the power of dharma is. What is the power of dharma? Anybody remember? Dharma prabhava? In the very beginning I said. Sadachara, good behavior. When you act on these principles, that's what gives it life, actually. Now, Baladev Vidyabhushan points out that any karma that binds you to this material world but has as its result, you know, has some result that binds you to the world. That's the first thing. But kevala priti hetutvat, on account of being motivated only by love, this thing is called dharma. Dharma is actually a function of love. In this material world, we need law. Law is one way to translate the word dharma. Why do we need law in this material world? Who can say? What is the necessity of laws? Because there's no love. This is the point. So in essence, Law is love because at least we have it in our heart that, yes, I'm going to submit to this law. At least that much is there. And if you just do that, then the process will purify you, as it has for Diti. Because even following law is, in some respect, a function of following or surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's pretty watered down. It's pretty far removed and indirect. Okay. That closes the first part of the class. I'm dividing this into three sections. The second section that I would like to dilate on is the word in this verse, Paramashcharyam. What does Paramashcharya mean? Anybody recall? Ashcharya and Parama Ashcharya. The supremely wonderful thing, or the most greatly wonderful thing, you see? What is that wonder, in fact? Do we know? It's actually a multi-level wonder. It's many-faceted. One thing, for sure, Jiva Goswami actually points out here that the second half of today's verse, from here on, for the next 2.5 verses, beginning with Mahapurusha Pujaya, it glorifies the process of devotional service. And there are two reasons that this thing is wonderful, that Indra has experienced. One reason, of course, is pretty much explicit in Srila Prabhupada's translation, at least. It means that the Maruts lived. First of all, they lived. They weren't killed when Indra cut them into 7 pieces. Indra himself was astonished that they're still alive. Therefore, he had to do something quick because he was so ill-motivated. He had to make sure that he gets the task done. What did he do? He cut them into 7 more pieces. And still they live. So not only did they live, that was the first wonderful thing. But another wonderful thing is that in addition to living, they were divided into so many pieces. How is it that, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained for us the other day, with the example of the plant. Sometimes you get a plant and you put it and it grows into a new one. When we're children, we do this in school sometimes as an exercise. So that's the second wonderful thing. And then the third wonderful thing is that they became devas. And I've already explained, how did they become devas? They became devas because their father was exalted, at least, and their mother, although envious, was also devotional. And simply through her vrata that she performed very carefully, not only her motive became so pure that as soon as she saw Indra and the 49 Maruts, what was her expression? Do you remember? What was her emotion? We've heard this. Huh? Nobody remembers? She was happy. She was very glad to see them. She was jubilant to see them. Why? They were shining like fire. Amalaparapan. Amalaparapan. Why? Because that was the tivrena. Tivrena bhakti yogena of Diti. That was the intensity of her vow. For 1 year, we heard this also. If a person worships even once, nicely, Vasudev or Murari, Krishna, he gets so much benefit. So what to speak of if a person worships for an entire year, which Diti did. So that's the first wonderful thing. But then the second wonderful thing takes it a step further. Srila Prabhupada dilates in his purport on this principle that Krishna is omnipotent, and he quotes the famous last verse of Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, you're going to get Shri, that's opulence, Vijaya, victory, Bhuti, wonder, Dhruvaniti, fixed morality, maybe we can say. This is the idea. But even beyond Krishna's omnipotence, that he can affect such wonderful things that Indra has experienced, and that the transformation in their hearts, this is the thing. He brought them to the spiritual platform. They entered the realm of devotional service. Diti was so purified that she held no more any grudges against Indra. She told him the truth straight out. And Indra responded in kind, being so much influenced by her association because it resonated with his more godly nature. You see? This is something that emphasizes the importance of satsanga. Satsanga, even 11th of a second association with a person who is pure or purified, either fire or red hot iron, doesn't matter. But it is a very powerful thing. So this is the This is the great wonder. In the first canto, or in the eighth canto, Gajendra calls the Lord, he addresses the Lord as Ashcharya Karnama, somebody whose actions are very wonderful. And more specifically, and relevant to today's verse, in the first canto, Suta Goswami tells Shonaka Rishi that Parikshit's situation of having been saved was because of Sarvashcharya Maya Achyuta, the Achyuta, the infallible Lord, whose every aspect is full of wonder. This is Krishna. So wonder is permeating this verse, that these things are all implied here by Paramashcharyam. So Vishnu purified everybody involved, and this we know from Bhagavad Gita, the nature of spirit is like that. Anybody know the verse that I'm thinking of? Chapter 2, text number 29. Ah? I didn't hear you. Yeah, who knows the Sanskrit? Just now I'm forgetting. Because the same word is used, Ashcharya. There we go. Ashcharyavat pasyati kashyadenam. Somebody sees that the Supreme Lord is wonderful. Other people don't see. Ashcharyavat vadati tathaiva janya. Other people describe the Lord as wonderful, whether they see him as wonderful or not. We've already given two examples of two great saintly devotees who describe the Lord as wonderful. And then Ashcharyavad Chainamanyashrinoti. The rest of us, we only hear that the Lord is wonderful. And by hearing every day, we gradually wake up and come to realize, if we adopt devotional service, just how wonderful the Lord is. Shrutvapyenam veda nachaiva kaschit. But other people, they never get it because they don't have enough piety. This is an important point. So, therefore, the question was raised, how is it that the murtis became purified? Because they should have been impious by nature, but they transcended their impiety through the influence of the association with their mother and her devotional service. So in 10th canto, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives us an idea of the Lord's mercy. That's the most wonderful of his shaktis. He says it's the king of all the Lord's shaktis. This is in 10th canto, chapter 9, text number 18. And I'd like to now bring this to another point, which is that Srila Prabhupada is writing this purport, as he writes all of his purports, not as a matter of just theory, but this is something that Srila Prabhupada was living and seeing, experiencing every day. The Bhagavatam has nothing but the experience of these great devotees who realize Krishna and become elevated through Krishna consciousness, and their stories elevate even us as well. So when Srila Prabhupada writes that, for example, the omnipotence of the Supreme Lord, for one who pleases the Supreme Lord, no achievement is wonderful. Everything is possible for him. Did Srila Prabhupada achieve impossible things? Most certainly he did. Most certainly he did. It's not just idle theory. This is his life, and he's sharing it with us in the purport. So yaswanu bhavam akhila shruti saramekam. This whole thing is nothing but experience. We've heard this in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. So he saw these miracles happen. He saw how wonderful is the Lord's mercy. Every day he was experiencing this. Let's just take a look for a moment in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to see a few more thoughts about this, because there are some very nice references. In the Adi Lila chapter 7, text 24, we find that although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that that as the love of God is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. Krishna consciousness is of such a wonderful nature that the more you give it, the more you have to give. Nothing else is like that. Certainly money is not like that. That's why she's called Chanchala. And Srila Prabhupada comments on this. He says, Krishna is providing for millions and trillions of living entities by supplying all their necessities. And even if all the innumerable living entities wanted to become Krishna conscious, there would be no scarcity of love of Godhead, nor would there be insufficiency in providing for their maintenance. Our Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly, and no one provided for our livelihood. But at present, we are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars all over the world, and the movement is increasing more and more. Thus, there's no question of scarcity. So again, this is Srila Prabhupada's experience. What is he experiencing? He's experiencing the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in the Dashama Charita of Sanatana Goswami, there's another very nice reference. He writes about Krishna's mercy. Sanatana Goswami tells Krishna, "Your mercy is a great wonder, non-different from you. It is pure eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It can empower me to always remember and glorify you in pure love." Raise your hand if you have pure love of God. Okay, one person has pure love of God. Let us all offer our obeisances to him. But Sanatana Goswami is saying that Krishna's mercy can empower us to always remember and glorify him in such pure love of Godhead. If that's what we want, it's there. Then he goes on, "It can enable me to see you immersed in the company of the cows and cowherd boys and girls." Raise your hand if you want to do this someday. Yes. Krishna Balaram. Kadavrindaranye vipula yamuna tida pulane charantam govindam haladar charantam govindam haladaras. Anyway, I forget the verse. But he's praying that when will that day come that I can see Krishna and Balaram walking on the bank of the Yamuna, surrounded by their cows and their cowherd boyfriends and girlfriends also. So Sanatana Goswami says Krishna's mercy can allow us to actually see the Lord in this way. It is the ultimate resort of all hopes for a helpless person like me. It is the ultimate resort of all hopes. Your wonderful mercy is ancient and eternal, but also ever new and fresh. To your mercy, again and again, I offer my obeisances forever. Finally, in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, we have another observation about the wonder of Krishna's mercy, particularly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, because that's how we get Krishna's mercy in this age. He says, Helo dhuni te khedaya vishadaya pramila ramodaya shamyat chastra vivadaya rasadaya chitarpiton madaya shashwat bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhurya maryadaya shri chaitanya dayanidhetavadaya bhuyaramandodaya. O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation. By your mercy, everything is made pure and blissful. It awakens transcendental bliss and covers all gross material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising from different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy causes the heart to jubilate by pouring forth transcendental mellows. Your mercy always stimulates devotional service, which is full of joy. You are always glorifying the conjugal love of Godhead. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. This is a quote from Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka. So in this way we can reflect on the situation that Indra and Diti have gotten themselves into and gotten themselves out of as well by their efforts, at least by humbly following the orders of our spiritual master and by making any attempt to secure Krishna's mercy to whatever extent we can, we will advance because Krishna is always responsive. And it's very easy what we have to do in this day and age, you all know. We simply have to chant sincerely, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Muruts became demigods, even though they were demons. Indra was rectified of his heinous crime. Diti was reformed of her terrible whatever motive she had. And similarly, we can be. Also, we can be purified and turned into devotees. Vande Shri Gurudevam Tam Karuna Varunalayam Yat Kripalavaleshena Pamaropyamarayate. One traditional prayer to the spiritual master says that I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. By it just a fraction of whose mercy, even a low-class degraded person can be elevated to the situation of an immortal. That we see in this description. There's much more we can say. Just look around you and see all the manifestations of this principle because they're there. Somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada performed the impossible. So many people have become Krishna conscious and we're still becoming Krishna conscious to the extent that we want to. But everything in this otherwise totally inauspicious age of Kali Yuga, it's all available through the agency of Krishna's holy name, which is the chief vehicle of his mercy, by the mercy of Sri Guru Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. I'll stop here, but if anybody has any questions, maybe we can take one or two. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, there's a microphone here you can give.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhuji, thank you so much. I have one comment and one question. The first is a comment. In the past couple of days, I've been doing some research on Dharma.
On
Dharma in Jewish students. So I discovered that Dharma encapsulates the whole essence of Jewish students. And Sadhacharya is referred to as Jewish students in the legal tradition. Even some scholars refer to Sadhacharya as the modern concept of Jewish students. So thank you for that, bringing it close.
You know, the thing is, when we're talking about experience, language is very important. And there are certain terms in Sanskrit that simply do not translate 100% accurately. Srila Prabhupada has done as well as anyone can do in communicating the concepts. But with the word dharma, I many times have pointed this out, it's not translated consistently. Sometimes we call it faith, sometimes we call it religious duty, sometimes we call it a social obligation, sometimes we call it an ethical principle, sometimes we call it a varnashram status, so many things. The fact of the matter is that it is all these things all at once. And that requires a change in the conception of the word. And that only comes very gradually after studying Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully for some time. So you can imagine what happens if we don't study Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully for some time. Then shrutvapyenam, as Bhagavad Gita said, even though we hear about these things as amazing, we can't see it at all. So it's a good point. Rasa is one of those words, it's hard to translate. Prabhupada himself mentions. Dharma is another one. Sometimes even the easy words are the hardest words. It's true.
So, Prabhu, the question now. So, the example you say, you cite to emphasize the point in the fourth section by citing the Tantra Sen, the Gita, and the mode of eager
Yeah.
So I could not comprehend that, because in this text we can understand that Kashyapa Muni is more like Iki, spiritual master.
Yes.
Now we see the synopsis in Krishna book. Krishna was in the refrain to Nanda Maharaj that sacrifice done with improper knowledge but not yet absolute results. But now Kashyapa Muni is like a chariot guiding her. So I could not comprehend why he said this is the mood of ignorance by citing an example from the Gita.
Yeah, her activities were not necessarily ignorant. Her activities were completely sattvic and, in fact, devotional. But her motive was ignorant. That's how I see it. And nonetheless, Krishna said, one of the things that Krishna says twice in Bhagavad Gita is that do not neglect sacrifice, charity, and austerities, because they purify even great souls, what to speak of demons. Compared to us, Diti is a great soul. Even though she was envious, it's said. You see? So, yajna dana tapas cheva pavanani manishinaha. Now, does that satisfy your question? So, you're asking how is it that the Diti became purified when her sacrifice or her austerity was tamasic?
No, it's like you allege or you assert that the idea was ignorance. So I could not comprehend that properly, because I see that she was guided into what she was doing.
She was what?
She was guided into what she was doing.
Yes.
The quality she was taking, she was guided by Kashyapa Muni.
Yeah, Kashyapa Muni's advice is completely perfect. The only thing that was tamasic was her motivation, the reason for which she wanted to do that, just like us. We're also engaged in devotional service. We're also, to some degree, living in a civilized or quasi-civilized manner. But we have all kinds of infections within our hearts. And, you know, that may result in Mishra Bhakti, bhakti that's contaminated by the lower modes. That was her case. But she did become purified, and by dint of whatever submission she had and devotional nature she had, she was purified. Because she did it for 1 year. It works. This is an example. Shuddhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. In the second canto. Even the outcasts and the so many degraded people are listed there. But they all become purified by the power of Lord Vishnu, Prabhavishnu. Because devotional service is like that. That's the whole point of this passage. Is that okay? Is something else? Yeah, in front here. He needs the microphone.
Bhagavad Gita explains Yadyatashri Shishas, whatever the leaders do follow, one question always comes up when you are preaching, is that Indra is not destroyed in the help of the Devdas, and Bhagavad is filled with so many abominable activities. Here he's killing, he's murdering, portion, stealing horses, so many activities from Bhagavad. So, first of all, how did this end? Number two, how do you explain it to the end of the question? Questioning, why did Bhagavad believe this?
Okay, so how do we understand it, and how do we make another person understand it? That's basically what you're asking. The answer, I think, is pretty much the same. Indra is a superior person, and a superior person doesn't have to be moral. He just has to be superior, and the influence will be there. Just like children, anybody with families knows, the smaller children, they always look up to the older boys. If the older boys do good things, then they're influenced in that way. If the older boys do bad things, they're also... So it doesn't matter whether a person's character is reformed or not. All you have to be is senior. We get this uncomfortable realization after some time in Krishna consciousness that all I have to do is stick around long enough and everybody starts bowing down. It doesn't matter what's in my heart. You see? That's just the way it is. And that's the point, I think, that Krishna makes in Bhagavad Gita to which you're referring. So that's one thing. But how to understand that Indra could be so, could do such ugly things. Well, he's a Sakama Bhakta. And although generally sattvic, he's also motivated by his own agenda. And in this case, Prabhupada has pointed out, his agenda was self-preservation, which is maybe not the worst of motivations, but certainly the way he went about preserving his status was thoroughly corrupted. So he's not intended to be, at least not for aspiring Vaishnavas, he's not intended to be a role model. He is a superior person in the universe as far as his material power goes, and we should respect that. But we're not being advised to try to follow his example in that regard. Right? Does that satisfy the question? Okay. I don't know. Is somebody else who wants to add something to this? Well, so many places, this is what I'm saying. There's so many places Prabhupada has pointed out that these devatas, particularly Indra, they're not necessarily pure devotees. And so for someone who wants pure devotion, they're not going to be the role models that we aspire to. It's pretty simple principle. But nonetheless, they are very exalted persons, and you know, we respect them, and they are going to have influence, whether it's good or bad. You can't change that, because that's the law of nature. That's his dharma, so to speak. Dharma used here in the sense of lakshana, you know, characteristic. Okay, it's getting too late, so I'm going to stop now, but thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.